Srila Prabhupada's translation. There was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandhava Loka began to dance and sing, while great sages and the inhabitants of Charanaloka and Siddhaloka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam. This is a celebration of Gajendra's returning to the spiritual world. There's no purport, so we'll just quickly read the next verse and purport. Yosau graha savai sajya paramascharya rupadrik mukto devala shapena huhu gandava satama pranamya shirasadisham uttama shloka avyayam agayata yashodhama ketanya guna satkatam. Translation. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandhava. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the Transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Purport. The story of how Gandhava had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandhava took this position was actually not a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse indirectly is a blessing. The Gandhava had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile, and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of Agastya Muni. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksasun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sya Dvaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the theme of the verse is the cursing. And Srila Prabhupada says here that the story of how King Huhu, who became a crocodile, will be described later. But I could not find that. Has anyone ever found that reference? I found it's a bit obscure, but... So basically, King Huhu, he's a Gandhava, and he was playing in the river, and Agastya Muni was chanting his Gayatri, and Huhu pulled his leg. So Agastya Muni cursed him, and just see, he became a crocodile and began pulling the leg of Gajendra. So this curse happened to be a blessing, because ultimately he got to see Krishna face to face. Now, he didn't go back to the spiritual world directly. He took on his Gandhava form, went to the celestial abode. But because he saw Krishna, then he can then think of Krishna continuously as a demigod and become purified, become a devotee. We can see it's a very long process sometimes to go back to Godhead. In the second canto, there's a description of the yogis going to the Shishuma planets, gradually to get purified. It's very, very complicated karma we have carried from millions of lifetimes. And to purify it all completely is extremely difficult. Sudam Vipra, he's a Brahmin, you know, from Krishna's pastimes. His wife forced him to go to see Krishna. They were so poor. So reluctantly he went because he didn't want to ask Krishna for anything. So he went to see Krishna, you know the pastime. Krishna worshipped him as a Brahmin. When he went back, he was the wealthiest man in his area. So the acharyas explained that Sudam Vipra, He was attached to being poor. He was attached to being detached, poverty-stricken Brahmin. So Krishna destroyed his attachment by giving him wealth. So you see that, and whatever attachment we have in the heart, it's very difficult. Sudam Vipra was with Krishna personally, and he could not become fully purified until that time. And it says at the end of that story that he lived his life in such a way that ultimately he became completely purified. So this theme of cursing is there in the Bhagavatam right from the very first canto. Can anyone tell me that? Who was the first person experiencing the curse? The first canto of Bhagavatam? What's the story? That's a little later. The first one is Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he actually told this story at the end of the seventh canto, that I was a Gandhava, I went into the company of sages. Srila Prabhupada said he committed two offenses. First is he went into the association of devotees surrounded by lusty women. And then his second offense was that he began to glorify the demigods. And Prabhupada says this is an offense because kirtan is meant for Vishnu, Krishna. So because of these two offenses, he was cursed to become the maidservant of a Sudrani. However, from a very young age, his mother, she became bitten by a snake. She left her body and he went off with these sages, became pure devotee. And interestingly, in that pastime, Lord Vishnu appears to Narada Muni and then disappears. And he says, it's very difficult to achieve my association if you have some material desires in your heart. So Krishna increased his desire for his association by giving him a little taste and then disappeared. So Narada Muni's curse was in fact a blessing, and this is the theme of the purport. So that curse by the sages was actually a benediction. That although Narada Muni as a Gandhava had to leave the heavenly planets and come to this earth planet, take a low birth and struggle, lose his mother very young, still he became Narada Muni. There's another famous curse in the Bhagavatam, Jai and Vijay. They were cursed to leave the spiritual world. So Lord Narayan said, oh, you take seven births in the material world, you leave my association. So they were very, very unhappy. I'm very unhappy to leave the Lord's association. So they asked for mercy. He said, okay, you take three births as demons and you fight me and then you can go back. So they said, we'll accept that. Then they became Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, etc. the other famous curses are the story of King Nriga. He was a great king, very famous for giving charity. And Srila Prabhupada explains that pious activities are fraught with danger. So although he gave away charity, millions of cows, beautiful cows laden with costly ornaments, full with milk, very healthy, to the brahmanas. Still, because of one cow, accidentally went from one brahmana's herd to another brahmana's herd, they had a big argument and then they cursed the king. Krishna's sons were out on picnic in the forest and they found this lizard in the well. And being compassionate, they tried to bring the lizard out of the well, but they couldn't. So when they got back to Dwarka, they said to Krishna, oh, we saw this lizard, it's stuck in the well. And Krishna, being kind to all living entities, he left Dwarka and went. And with his left hand, he just picked out the lizard very easily. And as soon as he touched the lizard turned into a beautiful celestial demigod. And Krishna says, well, who are you? He says, I'm King Nriga. I gave a charity, millions and millions of wealth. I gave land, ornaments, gold to the Brahmins. The Brahmins are by nature, they're poverty stricken. They accept voluntary poverty so they can remain detached. So Kurswa, when he left his body, he came before Yamaraj. Yamaraj said, oh, okay, you've got unlimited material enjoyment due to you for all your punya. Actually, there's no end to your material enjoyment. But there's also a little impiety here. Which would you prefer first? So Srila Prabhupada said he wasn't very intelligent because he said, I'll take the impious thing first. Get that out of the way so I can enjoy. Prabhupada is not very intelligent. Fruit of activities. So he thought that let me enjoy without disturbance, I'll take the impiety first. So Yamaraj said, you have to become a lizard. So this curse by the Brahmins ended up being a benediction because Krishna came. Purified him by touch. So Prabhupada, he talks about fruit of activities being uncertain. There's always some problem. Whereas the devotee, he gets freed from his resultant reactions of his piety or his impiety. This is the glory of devotional service. One becomes free from pious bondage and impious bondage. Narayana, Parayana, Kotishvapi, Mahamuni. Out of millions and millions of sages who are liberated, you'll only find one pure devotee. Manushya Nam Sahasreshu. It's very, very rare. but because of some attraction to Krishna, King Riga was able to see Krishna eye to eye, face to face. This is very interesting that you may see Krishna face to face, but still you're not eligible to return to the spiritual world. There's a verse in Bhagavatam says, Sakrin mana Krishna padara vindayo nivesi tad guna ragi ya iha nate yaman pasha pritascha tad batam svapne pipishanti hichina niskritaha. This verse says that although one has become attracted to Krishna, raga, attracted to Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, and although not having fully realized him, still this person will never see Yamaraj or never see his Yamaraj's servants, the Yamadutas, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. So even if you begin Krishna consciousness, become attracted to Krishna, you become a sage, a devotee, a wise person. And although you're not fully realized, still you'll be saved from so much danger and so much fear that is due to people who do not develop attraction to God, who've forgotten who God is, and who are busy enjoying the fruitive activities of their results, life after life. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. And the mercy of Krishna consciousness. There's another story in the Garuda Purana of some Brahmana who fell down. He became a highway robber. It's a long, long story. I don't remember it very well. But he was cursed. And eventually, after hundreds of lifetimes, he became a Rakshasa. And he was wandering around eating Brahmins and sages. Rakshasas are busy eating flesh. So he came into the area of Braj. He was wandering in Braj and he saw this Brahmin, Vaishnav. He began to approach him to eat him. And the Brahmana took a Govardhan Shila, cracked him on the head, killed the Rakshasa. When the Rakshasa died, in front of the Brahmin, chariots, huge chariot with 1,000 horses come out of the spiritual, out of the sky and took that Rakshasa. And on the chariot was thousands of cowherd boys. And they took that soul back to Godhead. Because he'd been touched by Govardhan Shila, left his body in Braj. Of all the cursing in the Bhagavatam, there's a story of Daksha Yajna. This very heavy story in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, when Shiva goes to Daksha's Yajna, and Daksha gets respected by everyone because he's the chief Prajapati, very proud of his fruit of activities, and all the demigods are there, and Lord Shiva remains sitting and silent without giving him respect. So he becomes offended. Actually, Lord Shiva was in trance, in samadhi, and Daksha was incorrect to begin chastising Lord Shiva in front of everyone. And when he began to chastise and curse Lord Shiva remained silent and peaceful. But Lord Shiva's associates, they were very unhappy. And they began to counter-curse the Vaishnav Brahmins, Shivites. Apparently there's been all historical animosity between the Shivites and the Vaishnavas. I once saw this ancient painting of these Aghori Shivites and Aghori Vaishnavas fighting physically. So I'm sure they get pretty fired up, these sages. There was a BBC program documentary once about this Aghori Sadhu, this Shivite. He had to get his initiation in the cemetery, in the crematorium. And on his final night, he had to sleep in the crematorium. And he was getting attacked by ghosts and all these things. And he had to eat the spinal, you know, when you burn the body, there's one little piece that's left at the bottom of the spine. And he had to eat that. So he did that whole thing, you know, and he was all covered in ash and he was totally austere. He'd been through all this austerity. And when he finished, he got himself cleaned up, went back to his hometown and went to visit prostitutes. So sometimes we may perform some austerity and then we want to enjoy. But this, not the process of Vaishnav devotee way. Devotee way performs austerity only to purify the heart. We're not interested in austerities, actually. It's said that you can perform millions of austerities, you can study millions of Vedas, but if you don't got devotion for Krishna, none of these things will help you at the time of death. So the real thing is to awaken this raga, this attraction to Krishna. This is our real business. And this is what Krishna is saying. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. It's a song from Krishna's heart. He's trying to attract the conditioned souls. Please come to me. Actually, he says this so many times in Bhagavatam. Come to me, think of me, become my devotee. This is the real spiritual life, how to love Krishna. And when you begin this process, then you begin the all auspicious path. Take the long, long journey home. So cursing, excuse me, one other famous cursing story is the story of Chitraketu. When Shukadeva Goswami told the story of Vritrasura, the demon who was a pure devotee in the body of a monster, he was such elevated that when Indra came to kill him, he was offering prayers to Krishna in pure ecstasy and love and welcomed death. And Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami, how is it this monster is a pure devotee? How is it possible? So then Shukadeva Goswami told the story of Chitraketu and how he was flying in his aeroplane, enjoying with damsels, and he saw Lord Shiva in the association of all the sages with Parvati on his lap. And he laughed that, Lord Shiva, you're supposed to be a great sage, but you've got your wife on your lap. So Lord Shiva wasn't affected, he didn't mind. But Parvati, she cursed him. And Chitraketu, being a great soul, he accepted the curse. Because he knew that now I'm going to become a monster like Parvati's cursed me, but I will then be able to become a pure devotee. So this cursing and reversals in life, they can help us. Something very bad happens to a devotee. He doesn't blame God. He thinks this is due to my past karma. This is, I deserve this ultimately. I have to tolerate it. This is the attitude of the devotee. And generally, because it's Kali Yuga, devotees go through very difficult time in life. Tateinu kampam anushikshamano bunjata evatma kritam vipakam ridvagva purbir vidadam namaste jiveti yom mukti pad sadaya bak. It is said that the devotee tolerates all types of miseries and he offers his respects to Krishna with his body, mind and words, tolerating all inconvenience. So this is the attitude of the devotee. And by doing this, then he is eligible to go back to Godhead. So we'll stop now. It's Monday morning. A bit of snow is there. Queen Kunti, she also prays for... She says, you put us through so much trouble, Krishna. We've been through all these dreadful experiences, been cursed and attacked by our enemies. But all these troubles, they help me remember you. So if life's too easy, we may forget Krishna. And if life's difficult, we'll remember Krishna more intensely. So if we practice Krishna consciousness, at the time of death, there's every opportunity that we will intensely think of Krishna. This is the goal of our life. Do anyone have any questions? Comments?